This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're talking about the best start to a season for the Bates softball team since 2000. Plus, the golf teams start their respective spring seasons this weekend, and John Tully delivered his best start to date to help the Bates baseball team beat Tufts. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The softball team went 4-2 last week, including a 3-1 mark to begin NESCAC play, as Bates split a road doubleheader with Wesleyan on Saturday before sweeping Trinity on Sunday. The Bobcats are 11-5 overall, their best start to a season through 16 games over the past quarter century. Junior captain Ella Marr led the way on offense last week for Bates, hitting at a .458 clip, and she was named the main player of the week for her efforts. And Ella Marr is also our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Ella, a big week for you there at the plate, hitting over 400 in this past week, and a big week for the softball team in general. But take me through what you were seeing up there at the plate. And I know you're drawing a lot of walks this year also. What are you seeing up there? What's clicking for you?
Yeah, so coming from Florida, I obviously walked a lot. I had more patience, I feel like, in Florida compared to when we came back. But coming back, I was kind of antsy in the box, just ready to find a pitch that I liked. And I got a lot of strikes, so I was ready for it.
Yeah, it's funny. I mentioned all the walks, but actually none this past week. So you were getting a lot of pitches to hit then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Much more.
Excellent. I mean, any particularly memorable games for you? I mean, you had four runs batted in against Trinity. Kind of a slugfest to finish up the week, right? What was that game like?
I think it was just a fun game all around. We, as a team, we were just hitting so well. So especially just like with two outs, we had a lot of two-out rallies. People were putting the ball in play, just finding gaps, and it was a lot of fun.
Excellent. And then, I mean, to win three out of your first four NESCAC games, that's obviously huge from a big picture perspective. How's the team feeling right now?
I mean, we're feeling great.
Yeah.
Since I've been here, we haven't beaten Trinity, so taking the sweep has been a real boost to our confidence, and taking one from Wesleyan, they've had a really great start to their season, so I think that was a huge win for us as well. And we're going into two really tough series this weekend, but I think we're ready for it. I think we're looking good.
Yeah, and then for you, I mean, at shortstop, I saw you make some nice plays there. Yeah, I think you threw a runner out at home, right? What were you seeing on that play in particular?
Yeah, it was actually funny because our coach had come out to the mound right before that play. We were up 3-2 in the bottom of the seventh, and she was like, "This runner doesn't matter. Just get the out at first. Like, this, we just need an out. We just need an out." And our ground ball was hit to me, and the runner took off immediately. She didn't even look. And so even our catcher, Bo, was like, one. But I had a feeling that I could get her, so I'm really glad I did. I think I would have been in big trouble if I didn't.
So. Yeah, the coach, she's okay with it if it works, right?
Yeah, only if it works.
This team, obviously, off to such a great start overall. The Florida trip is always so important, I think, to set the tone for the season, kind of. And what was really working as you know, I mean, Delaney's obviously been outstanding in the circle, but that Florida trip seems like a big boost to the start of the year, right?
Absolutely. 10 games in 6 or 5 days is a lot. But we were working really well together from the get-go. We played some really tough competition there as well. Lights-out pitching, as you were saying, from honestly all of our pitchers. And then our bats have come alive as well, so I think having those 10 games before conference has been huge. Just, again, a confidence boost, getting back into things, seeing dirt for the first time. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, it's you, Delaney, and Bell, or Bo, are the captains. And all three of you are having great starts of the year. How do you work with your fellow captains, you know, to lead the team?
Yeah, Bo and Delaney and I, we... I think it's a really special dynamic between the three of us, especially having like a pitcher-catcher kind of combo and then a fielder as well. It's kind of, it's fun because we all see a different part of the field, and I think we bring a different aspect to our leadership.
Yeah, because, you know, you got Bo doing the catching, Delaney pitching, and you there at shortstop. Shortstop is kind of, you know, a little bit the leader of the infield, right? I mean, how do you kind of work with your fellow infielders also?
I love my infielders.
Yeah.
Emma at third, she's been playing second as well. Like having her, she's just unbelievable. Like I'm like a big Emma Yen fan. So having her leadership as well. And then on the left side of the field, we've had a couple people filling in at second, Sophie at first. Kind of a heavy junior class infield, but it's been working, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you mentioned Emma because last year, like halfway through the year, all of a sudden something clicked, and she became like the best hitter on the team, basically, for the final part of the season. So what are you seeing from her? You mentioned you work with her on the field a lot, but also her hitting.
Yeah, she's unreal. She's a slapper. She can hit the ball. Like, she's just – she can do anything up at bat. And she's our leadoff this year, and she's just been finding ways on. And, I'm really lucky to bat behind her, honestly. I know she gets on most of the time, so it's been a good experience for us.
Now you've got those 13 walks. Emma's second on the team in walks. You know, it seems like the team has been pretty disciplined up there. What's, in general, kind of the hitting approach this year?
Finding our zone, not being too antsy. I mean, I've been kind of antsy lately with all the walks. But, especially coming up with these next few games, we're going to go against some really tough pitching with Sadie Leonard from Williams. She has a great rise ball, and I think just keeping that discipline that we've had so far is going to be really important for us.
Yeah, you mentioned Leonard. I mean, I remember seeing her last year and what she's able to do pitching-wise. Is she a junior now?
She's a junior.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that is a tough rise ball. I mean, as a hitter, how do you judge that? I mean, because a changeup, you know, so different, but how do you judge it out of her hand, or how do you try?
It's tough. My freshman year, when she was also a freshman, we played her a couple times, once in the NESCAC tournament, and I think having one game against her under our belt that year was really important. We kind of got the picture of how she threw, and if it starts high, that means it's going to end even higher, you know what I mean? So just laying off that high, what looks like fastball, and just, again, looking at the belt, something lower. I mean, she has a nasty changeup, too, so we're going to be ready for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good pitchers in the NESCAC. I feel like Wesleyan had some really good pitching, right?
They did. They have the Abby Orso from Colby. She's a graduate student there now.
Oh, okay. She transferred.
And then they have a freshman, I believe, who came in. She has a lot of spin. She's been looking good, too.
So as a hitter, I mean, how has it been so far? I mean, you only played four NESCAC games, but compared to, like, what you saw in Florida, a little different?
Definitely different.
Yeah.
I would say overall, though, like, the team hasn't really psyched ourselves out yet.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard coming from, you know, 10 games that you might see really good competition, and you might not see so good of competition.
You don't know what you're going to face.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we played a little bit of both in Florida.
Yeah.
And obviously the NESCAC, I mean, all the teams are really good. So, again, I think getting three of our four first games as wins has been really a confidence boost.
Great. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the past week for the Bobcats and the Star as a whole? I mean, 11-5, that's the best start for the team in 25 years. That's got to be a point of pride, I suppose, right?
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I think the team has been really gelling. The chemistry has been really good. Vibes have been really good. And I'm just really excited. I think we're going to do really well this season.
Yeah, we're excited, too. I mean, a great start for the softball team. Again, they're 3-1 in NESCAC, 11-5 overall. Make a 35-minute drive to Brunswick. Check them out this weekend. They're taking on Williams on Friday, Middlebury on Saturday. We'll get exact times for folks soon as we're trying to figure out the scheduling logistics. But, Ella, congrats again on a great start, and congrats on being our female Bobcat of the Week.
Thank you.
The baseball team dropped 2 of 3 at Tufts over the weekend, starting with a doubleheader split on Friday against the Jumbos. Bates won Game 1 6-3 as junior John Tully turned in his best start yet as a Bobcat, going 6-plus innings, giving up just 3 runs, 2 earned, on 6 hits. Tully struck out a career-high 6 batters as the Bobcats won 6-3. And John Tully is our male Bobcat of the Week. Well, John, before we talk about the game against Tufts, tell me a little bit about your background. You know, when you grew up, what made baseball your favorite sport, perhaps, and what eventually led you to Bates?
So I'm from Massachusetts. When I was growing up, just a lot of my friends started playing baseball, like, at an early age, and I kind of just always stuck with it. Like, I just found it, like, fun. Just when I was younger, I liked hitting more than pitching, to be honest. And then, like, as I started growing up, like, obviously, like, struggle a lot with hitting, and I just found it just more enjoyable to just, like, throw just all the like extra stuff that comes with baseball, and like it just like led me to hang out with a lot of my friends more. I played travel ball with this club, the New England Roughnecks. Mm. A few people from Bates, like Max Dushney and Nolan Bibbo, they played on it too. They were just on younger teams, and that led me to like Worcester Academy. That's where I went to high school. Just played baseball all 4 years there, and then through just summer ball, like Coach Martin saw me, and that led me to Bates.
You mentioned, you know, liking pitching. When did you really start to really get serious about pitching specifically, I guess?
I think ever since I can remember, like, I always pitched, but I think maybe, like, sophomore year of high school was when that's when COVID happened. So, like, that time, that's when I started, like, throw more, mm-hmm. just because it was something to do. And then, like, that next summer I started pitching more, and so I'd say right around then.
So this past weekend you pitched against Tufts, and 6 innings. 3 runs, only 2 of them earned, and a career-high 6 strikeouts, 108 pitches, got the victory. Mm-hmm. What was clicking for you against, you know, a tough Jumbos lineup?
I feel like we were pretty well prepared. We had just different cards, like showing the hitter's preferences. Mm-hmm. That helped definitely calling. Yardley called a really good game. I'd say just early on in the counts, we mixed it up, so a lot of fastballs out early, and then going in kind of just kept them off balance, and then I'd say I had a pretty good feel for the changeup that day, and we realized like pretty early on they struggled with that, or they just weren't seeing it well. I'm not sure what it was. So we mixed in a lot of changeups, even some sliders too, but just had kind of everything working, and that's what led to the success.
I know they sent you back out there for the 7th. I know you're probably hoping to get a complete game, but yeah. I mean, what was it like also to see your teammate pick you up, right? I mean, Cariello closing that thing out, right?
Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely a big moment for him. I mean, freshman all, first like league appearance.
Yeah.
He threw really well. Yeah, it was cool to go back out. Unfortunately, walked that first hitter and came out, but it was a really good opportunity for Charlie to come in.
As a pitcher, it must be nice to be staked to a 5-0 lead, right? There's probably no better feeling.
Definitely, yeah. It's pretty easy to pitch when you have such a big lead. Obviously, they scored 2 in that bottom half of the inning, but after that, it was pretty smooth. But it's just good to pitch with the lead. It just helps you a lot.
Yeah, they did get 2 right back, but then you obviously shut them down for the next few innings. What adjustments maybe did you make in-game?
Honestly, I just like try to like tell myself like we have the lead, like you don't need to overthrow, don't need to do too much, like just let them hit it, let your defense make the plays and go with that.
And for you personally, I mean, you know, looking at your career so far here at Bates, I mean, able to get into the rotation here, you made a couple starts your first year, but this mm-hmm. year you're really truly a starting pitcher. What's that been like after being a reliever, you know, last year?
Yeah, it's nice to be on like a set schedule. Yeah. Like throwing more often. I like the bullpen's fun, like you just have that adrenaline when you get called, but it's nice to like prepare, like you know when you're going to throw, you know more about like the other team and what you need to execute, and then like just work on like what we've seen in the past, like seeing how like for example like Diego pitched against Tufts last year, like using like what we saw with their hitters and their tendencies to like prepare. So it's just nice to like have a game plan ready to go.
Do you have any like pregame rituals or anything that you try to do everything on game day or anything like that?
Honestly, not really.
No.
I try like not to think too much about that stuff because
yeah.
like I don't really want to like get stuck into something and be off. But no, I don't really have anything like that. No.
And we mentioned that you're from Massachusetts, a politics major. What got you into that field of study?
I'd say just my first like 2 years here, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and then just taking like different classes, I feel like I found the most interest in like the various politics classes. Just for like, there's such like a wide variety of courses you can take.
And then, what's this group like? I mean, you know, you're a junior. What's this group, you know, as a team? What's the dynamics sort of like this year with the guys?
I'd say we're definitely really close. Like, we have a lot of fun together. I just feel like it doesn't matter if you're like a senior or freshman. Like, I feel like everyone's like really good friends, like really close. And yeah, like we're definitely like really talented. You know, we've had a little bit of like struggles early on, but it's like just a little like growing pains. Like we were pretty young early on, but I think we're just fine. And yeah, we're a good close group.
And it's all about getting to the NESCAC tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like in the division, most of the teams make it. There's one team that won't. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you're 1-2 right now. What are your thoughts on the rest of the NESCAC schedule? Because obviously you've still got 9 games to work with here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only thing that really matters is the 12 games we play in conference. Obviously, Tufts is usually like one of the better teams. We know that, but I think like as long as we just keep competing hard and working hard in practice, like we'll be good. yeah, like this past weekend, I think we played like three really good games against Tufts. Obviously, it wasn't like the results we might have wanted, but we competed well and they were really close. So I think we'll be just fine for the rest of the NESCAC games.
And obviously, you also had a good start against MIT on the new turf at Leahy Field. Yeah. What's the new turf been like for you guys?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it's definitely like the earliest I think we've ever got to practice outside. And we even had like a home game in early March, like last year. I remember it was April and we weren't sure if we'd be able to play at home. So it's just such a game changer being able to get out there and get more reps, and it just helps a lot.
Rivalry weekend here, right? Three games with Bowdoin. What are your thoughts on the rivalry with the Polar Bears?
Yeah, it's always fun to play them. They're good. I think they're having a pretty good year, so we'll definitely have to scout them out the next couple of days, have a good few days of practice, and be ready to go for the weekend.
Yeah, we got a home game Friday at 3 o'clock and then a road doubleheader at Bowdoin on Saturday at noon. Well, John, just, I mean, in terms of, you know, your pitching, you know, give the people an idea of what to look for when you start. Like, what's kind of your pitch mix and everything?
Yeah, so I'd say a lot of what I throw, I'm just going to throw, like, fastballs at my other third, just try and get ahead early.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, play off-speed off that, whether that's a slider or changeup. Mm. But a lot of times I'll just go four seam, sinker, and then change up. That's like what I work with a lot.
Oh, so you mix up four seam and then two seam for a sinker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the key to like success on both those pitches? Because they're similar, but obviously different.
For me, the key is I need to like establish the four seam outside and then be able to show that I can like throw the sinker off of that. Sometimes like early in the year, I might have struggled with that.
Mm.
Just not like setting up and establishing the zone early, and that kind of like led to some of the early season struggles, but yeah.
Yeah, all about throwing strikes,
exactly.
Right? It's a pretty simple sport where you could boil it down to a little bit. But any other thoughts on the, you know, victory over Tufts there that you wanted to share we haven't got to talk about?
Not too much. I mean, it was a really good team win. I feel like there's some great defensive plays. Obviously, everyone did their job. Gibby had that huge home run.
Yeah.
Even Liam Yardley, he first home run.
That's right.
Was really big, too, because that was kind of like the response right after they chipped back a little bit. So that was definitely like a big momentum swing for us, too.
Don't forget, folks, you can catch the Bobcats in action this week at home. They actually have a non-conference home game tomorrow against UMF at 3:30, and then the big home Friday matchup against Bowdoin. John Tolley, our male Bobcat of the week. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
The spring season for Bates Golf gets underway down in Connecticut this weekend at the Trinity and Hartford Invitational. To preview the men's season, we welcome to the Bobcast junior Henry Ehrlich, who spent the fall abroad in Europe, but is back and ready to help Bates compete this spring. Henry, first of all, tell me about your study abroad experience this past fall.
Well, first of all, Aaron, thank you for having me. Always a huge privilege to be here on the Bobcast. Had a great time. I was in London, East London. Didn't enjoy a lot of golf, which is unfortunate, but I definitely furthered my other academic and cultural endeavors. Went to a bunch of soccer games, which I enjoyed. Did some nice travel, but definitely nice to be back in the flow and routine of things here at Bates.
Well, there's some like pretty famous courses there in the United Kingdom. No chances there?
There sure are. I actually did visit a friend out at St. Andrews, which was a complete dream come true for me.
You got to golf it?
I did. I didn't play the old course, which is, you know, the famous one and where they have the British Open once in a while, but I got to play the other courses. And the old course is really cool because they make it a public park on Sundays.
Oh.
And so we all got to walk around and check it out, which is really neat.
So no one can golf there. People just walk around.
Yeah, people got their dogs and their kids, and they're just hanging out, which is really sweet.
Excellent. It's Lynx golf over there. It's a little different, right?
Yeah. You know, not a lot of trees, tall trees, very open, very windy, and sort of promotes creativity. A little different than how we play it here, but really, really fun nonetheless.
Now you're back, and the spring season starts this Saturday. You're the men's golf team headed down to the Trinity Hartford Invitational, Tumblebrook Country Club. You ever been there?
No. So what's weird about the Trinity event this spring is that it is at a different course than either of the last two springs that Trinity has hosted a tournament at. And Tumblebrook is funny. It, as far as I understand, they have 3 9-hole courses there, and we don't yet know which ones we're doing. So probably find that out Thursday or Friday and give us a little time to check out the course, but should be a great weekend and great to get, you know, back in the swing of things.
I was going to mention, like, coming back from abroad, how have you gotten, you know, reintroduced to your team?
Well, we've got four great freshmen,
mm-hmm.
All from different parts of the country, so it's been really fun to get to know them. And then, you know, just through hanging out with everybody, and I think the sim room really facilitates that as well. We have an awesome sim set up on the second floor of Merrill. where we can hit anytime, and it gives us all sorts of data on, you know, how we're swinging the club, how far the ball goes, how it's spinning, all that stuff. So getting the numbers dialed in for the spring season, but definitely going to be a shock to the system, you know, playing outside competitive golf, you know, where everything counts and people are stressed. So, you know, going to be nice to get the juices flowing again, but definitely going to be an adjustment, a readjustment.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the sim room is obviously very valuable because is Martindale even open yet? I mean,
no,
yeah,
no. And so. The recent snow does not help, no. Unfortunately. Right. Martindale's probably going to open in 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it'll be ready for short term, but not quite for us yet.
Gotcha. And then obviously last year after the great showing at NESCAC, it seems like the team really peaked at the right time. What do you remember kind of about last spring and how that went?
Yeah, peaked at the right time is exactly right. We, you know, as a team, weren't doing great in the spring. And then we sort of had a decent finish to the Williams event, which was the last event before NESCAC's. And then everything sort of fell in line. Obviously, playing at Brunswick was a big advantage for us just because we got to play it a lot that year. We played 5 tournament rounds at Brunswick, and it's only 30 minutes away. So we were able to play a couple of practice rounds and, you know, just getting to sleep in your own bed and hang out with your friends and everything was a huge perk for us as well.
And this year, NESCAC's is in late April, April 25th through 27th, 3 rounds this time, which is new, right?
New. Yes. First time in conference history, I believe, which is fun.
Yeah.
And it's at, you know, Taconic Golf Club, which is the best course we play. It's the second-ranked college golf course across any division,
okay,
which is so lucky and a huge privilege for us to be able to play it. It's always such a joy. It's in immaculate condition, and it's a really fun layout, and it's very challenging, somewhat of an equalizer. So we like our chances this year. You know, I think we're our program's in a really, really privileged spot. Just we have this sort of upward trajectory and trend over the past couple of years, and I think a course like Taconic caters to us in that it's a total beast, right? You're always, if you lose focus, you're always sort of one shot away from a double bogey is what we like to say. Greens are really quick, rough's long, courses among the longer ones we play, so you know, sort of all the equalizing factors should play into a really fun tournament.
Yeah, and you have 3 terms before then, including the one this weekend. Are you familiar with the other 2 locations you're going this year? Boston Spa Country Club and Beaver Meadow Golf Course, one in New York, one in New Hampshire.
Yes. So yeah. We played Boston Spa last spring for the Skidmore event. Really nice course. It was raining last year, so hopefully we'll get a little bit of better weather. We'll see, though. I think it's supposed to rain at Trinity this weekend, unfortunately. But, you know, I like that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the one in New Hampshire is new to us as well. I believe it's hosted by SNHU, which is a Division II school.
Mm-hmm,
I think
yeah.
our coach knows their coach or something like that.
Okay.
So that's how we got in. The reason it's a little funky is that the Williams event is usually the last one before NESCAC's, and it's all NESCAC schools, and you get to bring 6 guys as opposed to 5.
Okay.
So it's sort of a NESCAC preview and allows teams to like sort of work out the kinks in their lineup. But don't have that this year since Williams is hosting the conference tournament.
Interesting.
So everyone, all the teams are kind of on their own in terms of finding an event.
Sean Warren, you mentioned him, director of men's golf, obviously a highly decorated golfer. What have you kind of learned from him during his time leading the program?
Well, it's been so great to have Coach Sean, man. He is just such a positive force, both on the golf course and off. On the course, he obviously is really good at golf, so he knows how to manage all types of situations and all types of shots and lies. And if in the face of any sort of uncertainty, he's always a really stable and comforting force out there on the course. And then off the course, he's such a great guy. He really cares about us all as people, as students. And you know, these team weekends away are a total highlight for us.
For you personally, as a golfer, you know, getting back in the swing of things, what are some main things you're kind of focusing on to, you know, once again, peak at the right time?
I can predict over the next couple of weeks, the short game's definitely going to be a trouble. I think, you know, that's one of the advantages and pitfalls of having a sim room and, you know, playing golf in Maine is that you get to work on your full swing a ton and you can work out your numbers that way. But as soon as you get, you know, those sort of more feel-oriented shots inside of 50, 60 yards, and then putting as well. That's just something you get from reps and playing outside more. And so, you know, when you don't have that, that's what's going to go away first, right? And so I think that also comes with, like you said, peaking at the right times that, you know, we all had 4 straight weeks of playing outside and sort of getting our feels back that way. So, you know, going to try to focus on getting the short game sharp. But other than that, just going into every shot with maximum focus and effort.
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty decently experienced group. I mean, you mentioned the first years, but you have, you know, Freddie Curtis, senior captain.
Yep.
Arthur Jenkins made some big contributions last year. Will Phillips, the senior captain. You know, some other guys, Charlie Wyman, sophomore. So tell me about this group and kind of maybe the competition within the unit, right? Because you're all fighting for a lineup spot, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the way college golf works, for people who don't know, it's 5 guys go to every tournament for each school, and on each day of the tournament, the best 4 scores for your school count.
Right.
Which is so awesome because if you have a really bad first day, you can still contribute to the team on the second day.
Your teammates can pick you up also.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
As for the, you know, the competition within the team, it's pretty strong. You know, we have 6-7 guys that are right there.
Yeah.
And so we were recently in North Carolina down on spring break with the team and sort of worked a couple things out there, but definitely still up in the air with everything. But it's going to be a really great spring season. These guys are competitive, and it's really looking forward to it. Haven't played competitive golf outside since last April, since we spoke last pretty much.
Yeah.
So, just so excited.
Sounds good. Looking forward to the men's golf season again, starting this weekend down in Connecticut. Henry Ehrlich, who last year tied for first at the NESCAC Championships individually as the Bobcats, I believe, took 3rd as a team, their best finish ever. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it.
The women's golf team is being led this spring by interim head coach Kelly McManus, a Bates alum who played field hockey and softball as a Bobcat. McManus just wrapped up her first season in her return to Lewiston as one of our assistant field hockey coaches, where she helped the Bobcats reach the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history.
I love my experience at Bates as a student athlete. It was amazing to be a 2-sport athlete here at Bates. To play field hockey and softball was really a dream. And I think when I was looking at schools, I didn't want to sacrifice a favorite sport of mine. I wanted to play 2 sports. And I had a visit at Bates and did a tour. And honestly, I mean, we say this to recruits all the time, but it was this intangible feeling that I had. And it was just a feeling that I was meant to be here and that this was home. And I can't really put my finger on one specific thing that drew me to Bates, but it was definitely this community feel, the people. My visit was during a men's basketball game, and I got to be an alumni gym. So that kind of sold everything for me. I was a 3-sport athlete in high school, so I think it was actually weird not playing basketball in the winter. And it was great to be able to play 2 of those 3 sports in college. And, you know, in the summer, it was focusing on my time for field hockey in the fall. And then in the winter was my time to be ready for softball in the spring. So I had that routine all 4 years and 2 amazing teams that I was a part of and some great teammates for life.
Great. And then what made you want to get into coaching?
Yeah, actually, both of my parents are coaches. They still are coaches. My mom still coaches middle school field hockey, and she was my middle school field hockey coach. And my dad coaches college baseball. He retired after 32 years as a head coach at a college in New Hampshire, and then came back as a bench coach, and then eventually came back and he coaches first base again at that same college. So I kind of grew up with coaching in my blood. I was a psychology major here at Bates and did my senior thesis on kind of in the sports psych realm. And I kind of knew just throughout my time in college that I didn't want to stop being around sports. I didn't want to stop, being around field hockey. And I loved it so much that I really did, you know, get drawn into the coaching career.
How excited were you to see the opportunity to come back to your alma mater?
I knew it would be really special, and I honestly, it's exceeded my expectations. I think being at Bates is a dream come true, and I had a great experience, a great 8 years over at Bowdoin, but I think to be able to coach at your alma mater is just one of the most special things in the world, and to be around our student athletes, where obviously there are so many amazing changes at the institution, but so many traditions are still in place, and it's just really great to see our student athletes going through such a great and similar experience to what I went through at the same place. And I think to see some of those same professors walking around campus, and you walk in a building, you could be blindfolded and you know what building you are by the smell of alumni gym and of commons. And I think it's just really special to be able to just be at my alma mater. And yeah, it's awesome.
And the Elite Eight run for the field hockey team, I mean, what a way to start, right? Here, this is your first year at Bates, and they go to the Elite Eight.
So amazing. I mean, Danny and I say this to recruits all the time. We're so biased, but we have such an incredible team. And yeah, we love them to death.
What did that run mean to you as an alum, to see the growth of this program to now?
It was amazing. And I think it's special. It's really special. I had a lot of conversations with my teammates kind of during the season, and they were just so proud to be a part of the program. And yeah, it was just this different feeling because of some of those traditions that the team has that are still in place. And then just to see where the team has grown, it has been really, really incredible.
All right, now let's talk about some women's golf, because the women's golf spring season begins.
Yes, it does.
Today, Trinity Hartford Invitational in Connecticut. Actually, the men's team is going there as well. But for the women's team, first of all, when did they ask you to be the interim head coach, and what was your reaction?
Yeah, it was, I want to say, like a week and a half before February break, I was asked if I do golf and if it's a sport that I'm familiar with. And I do, and I play for fun. It's been a sport that's kind of been in my blood forever. Both of my parents play. They compete a lot against each other. It's become this family competition between the three of us and who can have the best handicap. And I stopped playing in college. I had this weird feeling it would mess up my swing for field hockey and for softball. So I kind of took a 4-year break from playing, but it's all just, it's a lot of fun to be able to go out with my family. And my brother-in-law used to be a teaching pro, so it's kind of a whole family affair. But yeah, it was right before a February break, and it was right before a meeting. And I think during that meeting, I was just kind of in my head thinking about what that would be like. And I was just thinking how neat of an experience it could be to coach another sport, to coach a sport that's a little bit different in terms of coaching individuals while still being a part of a team, and to just have this unique experience that not a lot of people get. It's exciting.
What's it been like working with our women's golfers so far? Obviously, you know, probably limited the sim room at the moment, but what's it been like working with them, getting to know them?
Yeah, they're like, you know, our group right now is small, but it's mighty, and they're a lot of fun. And I've had some time with them in the sim, and yeah, obviously we haven't gotten outside yet, but some time watching them in the sim and interacting with them. And we've had some individual meetings too. Just, I want to know sort of what they need during tournaments and whether they just want a snack or they want to talk strategy, but kind of the best way to support them this spring. And we do have a practice round scheduled for Friday, so we'll get to be outside at least before the tournament starts on Saturday. But yeah, it's really just been in the sim room, and hopefully we'll get out at Martindale soon.
As the interim coach, how do you kind of approach in terms of giving them tips and stuff? Because, you know, mentioned, you know, you golf recreationally, they've been playing for a while now. How what's that dynamic kind of like?
I don't want to overstep there. They have fantastic coaches. A lot of them do back at home. And I think they're at all different places in their game where I'm here when they need me. But I also know that I'm not a teaching pro, a professional teaching pro. You know, Sean is, and he's an amazing player. And I think, you know, he still plays competitively. So I think I'm using my resources as much as I can while still being a really good coach to these wonderful women. So that's sort of my approach right now as their coach.
Yeah, it makes sense. And this trip to Connecticut, I mean, what's your plan like during the tournament? Are you going to be kind of roaming the course, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm thinking of, you know, courses that I'm used to, and I'm thinking of how to get from maybe the first hole to the seventh hole really easily and navigate around and find people. And I think it is going to be a little bit tricky because I don't know the course. There's actually 27 holes at this course too. And we don't even know yet at this point which two of the nines we're playing. So they'll give coaches a cart, and we'll basically, I'm going to go around and just check in on the four of them and just see how they're doing, if they need anything, and just chat with them really throughout their round, but really make my rounds. So I'm getting some FaceTime with all of them throughout the day.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you want to share on the spring season coming up for women's golf we haven't got to talk about yet?
No, I'm excited. It's a packed schedule. We have three tournaments. We have this one coming up, Trinity Hartford, and then Amherst Williams, and then we have a little bit of a break, and then the NESCAC tournament. So we're full go this spring, and I'm really excited to be working with the team.
Yeah, the 3-day NESCAC tournament is May 2nd through 4th. That'll be in New Hartford, New York. So that'll be a lot of excitement there. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron. Go Bates.
The lacrosse teams both fell in close games to Trinity last weekend, but they get the chance to bounce back Wednesday when women's lacrosse hosts Bowdoin at 7 p.m. on Russell Street Field, while the men's lacrosse team heads to Brunswick to take on the Polar Bears. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.